I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
I'm Susie Peters.
It's the WEOL Morning Show, survival style. Craig?
Post-apocalyptic.
Well, I don't know.
Let's find out. As long as we're not getting naked and afraid.
Why can't the future be happy? Well, in Survival Colony 9, the debut novel for Joshua David Bellen, it is a vivid, gritty landscape of a future world ravaged by war, where a small colony's hope of survival hinges on a teenage boy. Joshua, is there any hope? I don't know what teenager I want to give my future hopes for, but welcome to the program. Talk a little bit about this book and what made you lead you to getting a young adult novel out on the bookshelves.
Well, thanks for having me on the show. It's kind of funny you say that because I've got a teenage daughter myself, and I'm trying to think whether if the world hinged on her, would things work out? I don't entirely know. I love her, but I'm not sure.
Right.
I've always loved young adult. I'm not a young adult myself, but I've loved it since I was a young adult. And when I decided to work on fiction, I had been reading some young adult literature to my kids and thought, well, you know, give this a try. We had read The Hunger Games, The Maze Runner, that sort of thing, and it really appealed to me. So I figured I'd give it a shot myself, and the result was Survival Colony 9.
The book, you also have kind of an environmental aspect to it, I guess, which is also important to you. Do you kind of thread that into the book as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a big thing for me is environmental activism and being concerned about preserving our environment for future generations. So certainly one of the key things with the book is that this is a world where people have not tended to their environment and have not cared for it, and that's part of what the survivors have to deal with is a desert landscape where very little grows and there's very little water and the climate is out of control. And so certainly that's a key aspect of the book.
And as this is a book that appeals to, I guess, ages about 14 and up, do you get some of that environmental messaging from your own kids? How do you know what they're actually interested in when it comes to the environment?
You know, with kids, I think the thing is that they're certainly not going to hit me over the head with any heavy environmental message. I mean, my kids, they hear about recycling at school and that sort of thing, you know, so that's where they're coming from. But it's more that I really, from my kids, I get the joy of being out in the natural world, whether we're camping, whether we're hiking, whether we're walking, whatever we're doing. I get that sense that the natural environment is tremendously important to them and their development. And so that's where that aspect of it really comes across to me.
Which is why you're destroying it in this book.
Yeah, you know, that's the weird thing. Right, exactly, because it's almost like a cautionary message, I guess, in some ways. Right, I love the world so much that I want to write a book where it's been trashed. That seems kind of bizarre, but that's sometimes how it plays out.
Joshua, you've written a couple other books. How do you get to a point where you think, I've got this idea, this might work in print?
Very good question. You know, there are some ideas that pop into my head, like when I'm waking up, you know, everybody has these dreams that seem like they're great ideas. And then after about 2 minutes of wakefulness, you realize that it's a really horrible idea and it's never going to work. On the other hand, Survival Colony 9 was something that actually did come to me in a dream. And the sort of the landscape and the main character and the monsters all sort of were wrapped up in this dream. And when I had a few moments to reflect on it, I said, yeah, you know, that actually might work. You know, it's very mysterious, I think, how you come up with your ideas. But when you know it's good, you know it's good.
Where do you come up with the name Query Gen?
Well, Query, interestingly enough, came from when I was writing some query letters for a previous novel that I had worked on, and I was putting together a query letter to try to obtain an agent. And so I wrote the word query, Q-U-E-R-Y, at the top of my computer screen. And then I looked at that and I said, huh, that might make kind of an interesting name. Stuck an extra R in it so that it wouldn't just be the actual word. And I said, there's a name. And given the fact that my narrator has lost his memory and has lots of questions about who he is, it seemed like an appropriate name for him.
I see. So there's always, as literature goes, there's always deeper meanings than what you just read on the page, right?
I hope so.
I have a question about writing young novels for young adults. Are there certain parameters that you have to follow as far as what's okay? Because Bruce read a page, a little excerpt.
It was just one where he was kissing. There was a kissing scene. That was it. And her lips were dry. So how?
Well, but it was very carefully crafted. So I wonder.
She has luminous blue eyes. That's the other part of it.
It didn't go too far.
I think that these days there are. I wouldn't say that there are no limits to what you can do in young adult. Certainly, things need to be age appropriate, I guess. But on the other hand, you know, there's a lot of young adult that uses a lot of cussing and a lot more sexuality than I do. I mean, I think that this is what young people are dealing with these days. You know, these are part of their lives. There's horror aspects in my novel. And, you know, there are aspects of, there's some gore and other things. All of that, I think, is considered permissible these days in the young adult realm. I think it's more a question of what the individual author is comfortable with. As I said, I wasn't really comfortable with writing a novel where every other word was you know, a four-letter word. But on the other hand, you will find some of that out there.
Sometimes it just depends on whether it feels right when you're working on it. I mean, you may develop a character who this... You know, it works best, but it's not just not to, to be put in there so that it would, as for shock value, that never really works if you try to force something in there. We're talking today with Joshua David Bellin. The book is Survival Colony 9. I don't always like to push on to the next event, but obviously after you put one away, you start the process over again. Are you on another process right now? Where is this taking you?
Yeah, well, the story in Survival Colony 9 is complete. You know, the emotional and sort of narrative arc of the main character comes where it needs to come, and so that story stands on its own. But at the same time, it's a much bigger world than Query is able to glimpse in the first novel, where he stays largely confined to his own colony of necessity. I wanted to create some future novels where he sees more of that world and moves beyond the colony. And so that's something that I have completed. I've completed a sequel. We don't have a publication date for it yet. I'm still hopeful and cautiously optimistic. But once I've completed some of Query's stories, there's about 15 different projects that I have jotted down ideas for, all of which I think are good ideas. And I've just got to determine which one is next. But I really do want to sort of continue to delve into Query's story and his world, because I think there's a lot more out there.
When you're writing... these young adult novels, you're also writing to probably future writers, because many times young adult people read those books and think there's a character that's similar to me. I could sort of understand what they're thinking. Perhaps that's something I could try. How did you get into writing, and how long have you been doing that?
Well, I've been doing it for most of my life. I mean, I think I wrote my first, what I was thinking of as a novel, when I was like 8 years old, and I didn't finish it because there was no way at the age of eight that I could finish a novel. I would say that one of the things is that I've had tremendously good teachers. I mean, I've always loved literature, I've loved writing, but I've had great teachers all along the way who encouraged me, whether that was in high school, in college, graduate school, after graduate school, people who said to me, hey, you've got something to say, and we'll help you to say it. So I think for most young writers, that's the case, that you need mentors, teachers, people who encourage you, tell you that what you're doing is okay.
You're getting into writing, getting published at a time where the book publishing industry is really kind of changing. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's an actual, I'm holding a physical copy of a book, but many times there's the e-books, or there's an electronic version of that. Do you think that changes the way that people can get published then?
Oh, it definitely changes the way you can get published. I mean, self-publishing is huge. Back in the day when I was first starting to think of writing novel-length works, which would be, you know, 20-something, 30 years ago, the only way that you could get published sort of outside of the mainstream was by paying a lot to somebody to publish you, you know, the so-called vanity presses. These days, you can, if you don't want to go the traditional route, the mainstream route, there are lots of opportunities for very small amounts of money or for free to get yourself published. And I think that is, to me, that's a positive thing, because it means that there's a lot of voices out there, people who, for whatever reason, choose not to go the traditional trade publishing route, but they can still get their works out there and make them available. I think it makes it much more exciting and a much more representative, maybe, landscape.
You mentioned that you have a teenage young daughter. Do you use her as a test person? Hey, read this or have this. How do you think? What would that is? Or does she just think, what are you doing? I got my own life to lead. I don't have time for your books.
Well, you know, she's a teenager, so a lot of the time she's rolling her eyes at me. But on the other hand, no, she actually was my first reader. I had written the first chapter of this thing, and I had no idea whether it was any good. And I didn't know who to show it to, and I was too embarrassed to show it to anybody else. So I pulled her over. I was like, hey, Lily, take a look at this. And I think she was 12 at the time, so she wasn't quite a teen. But she read it, and, you know, she's a pretty honest kid, and she said to me, yeah, Dad, that's pretty good. So that gave me what I needed to keep going.
You probably didn't give her a red pen, I suppose, and then she could come back and say, I think you need to move this and move
that
up a little.
No, I wasn't going to do that. I just wanted an overall impression.
Right. It's the longer that she can get through it and say that it held my intention for whatever is coming up next.
She has read the entire thing now, though, and she's given me the thumbs up.
That's great. It's called Survival Colony 9. Joshua David Bellin, our guest this morning. It's out now. People, I guess, can go to your website, joshuadavidbellin.com, or it's available through Simon & Schuster. Joshua, thanks for sharing the time. Appreciate it. Good luck with your novel.
Thanks very much for having me.